Turn me to James, the fourth chapter. We've been talking about the will. You got sound? Good. Talking about the will. And in discussing the will, we talked about how the will is the strongest part of our soul. And the will feeds off all the other aspects of our soul in order to make a decision. So the will is where our decisions are made. We choose to do something, our will has a part of it. And so one of the things that we as Christians have to do is stop giving the enemy, Satan, credit for power he does not have. Every sin committed, every wrong decision, every time we disobey God, the devil didn't make us do it. I'm saying this on purpose. It may seem harsh. It may seem the devil didn't make us do it. At the end of the day, we chose to do it. Because if the devil made me do it, then it's up to the devil to turn my life around. See, I can't give him the power of my life being able to be turned around because he don't want to turn it around. And people do that. They say the devil made me do it. So that's how they keep in that cycle. When in actuality, it's them giving Satan the power to do to them what he is doing to them. That's where our will comes in at. Satan does not have control of our will, but he will apply pressure to our will. He will apply pressure. This is very key. He will apply pressure to our environment. He will apply pressure to our environment that will, watch this, have influence over our will. So this is why Romans 12:2 is so important. We renew our mind with the word of God so that we may be able to prove, or we know the word, recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's why we renew our mind. Because, let's break that down, because I made the statement that he will put pressure on our environment. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transform. I won't conform. I will transform. See, that conforming is when Satan trying to apply pressure to our environment so that our will can be affected so we make the wrong decision. So this, you know, side journey, this is why I have a problem with people who bring children into the world and don't want to be responsible for them. Because that's an open door for Satan to apply pressure to their environment so that they begin to make the wrong decisions. Are y'all seeing this? So one of the ways we protect our will is by protecting our environment. What I mean by protecting our environment, being conscious of what's around us, being conscious of who is around us and what they're saying to us, not going to sleep at the wheel. What I mean by not going to sleep at the wheel, I'm always conscious of who around me and what they're saying, what they're speaking. Give you an example. Apostle was at the end of the church, was shaking some people's hands. I won't call the people who they were. Was shaking some people's hands, and one of the members' first cousin, was visiting them and visited the church, and it was that particular member's birthday. And she made the statement, I come to spend time with him because we don't know how much longer he's going to be here. And the cousin spoke up and said, No. You don't determine how long I'll be here. So you're just visiting me because it's my birthday. But you're not going to determine how long. That's what I'm talking about, not going to sleep at the wheel. Letting people say stuff to you. Y'all see what I'm saying? And you can't care who it is. You can't care if it's kinfolk, best friend, whatever. I'm not going to sleep at the wheel because I'm not about to let you put pressure on my environment to make me think a certain way, to make decisions a certain way. That's why I take the word of God and renew my mind. Oh, 2 Corinthians, watch this, 2 Corinthians 10. I cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into what? Captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I'm catching every thought. That's your environment. Every thought. I'm catching it and bringing it to the obedience of Christ. How do I do that? Because I've hid the word of God in my heart. I renewed my mind. I've hid the word of God in my heart, in my soul. So every thought, thoughts come from your environment. Every thought that comes from an environment that does not agree with Christ, I'm bringing it to captivity, and I'm holding it, and I'm choking it out. I'm choking it out with the word of God. MMA. I'm choking it out. I'm choking it out. It will not get no oxygen. It won't get no energy from me. I'm choking it out, which will strengthen my will to make the right decisions. Go back to James, the fourth chapter. This just is based on environment, but some people are strong-willed and some are not. Being strong-willed is not, it's not a gift, it's not an arbitrary, it's just a way of being. So if one person could be strong-willed and another person is not, if I find one person that's strong-willed, that means anybody could be strong-willed. So my point for saying it is you have to train your will. If you don't train your will, then you will let anything come along to influence your decision. One of the ways we strengthen our will is doing James 4, verse 7. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people get that scripture out of order. They want to resist the devil, but had submitted themselves to God. What it means to submit yourself to God? It's saying I'm submitting my thought process. I'm submitting my behavior, everything to God. What it means to even submit it to him? It means Romans 12 and 2. It means Isaiah 1:18. Turn there. Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God said, come, let us reason together. Go to Jeremiah 29, 11. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Look what verse 12 says. For then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. other words, God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then he tells us how we get to those thoughts. We call unto him, we go and pray, and he will listen, or listen with the intent to do. So that means the way we get those thoughts is we got to spend time with him. When we spend time with him, we access those thoughts. When we access those thoughts, that's us submitting ourselves to him. When we submit ourselves to him, then we can resist the devil. So now resisting the devil is not that hard. Because the devil's number one weapon is deception. Deception in your environment. So he comes with lies in your environment to get you to behave a certain way. But when I submit myself unto God, I submit myself to him, I renew my mind with the word of God. Another way to say it is I come in reason with God. Another way to say it, I submit myself to God. Another way to say it, I come to God and I know I come to God because I want to know those thoughts he's thinking toward me. I'm interested in what God is thinking towards me. Another way to say it, this book of the law will not depart out of my mouth, but I'll meditate therein day and night. Are you seeing this? So when I do these things, it makes it easy to resist the devil. So it makes it easy to make right decisions. Because my will is being strengthened. I'm becoming strong-willed. Why? Because I'm controlling my environment. What is going in my soul? What's coming out of my environment? What's coming out of my environment? The word of God. I'm submitting myself. I'm reasoning with God. I'm looking for the thoughts he's thinking about. I'm interested in the thoughts he thinks towards me. I'm meditating this book of the law day and night. So my will is strengthened. So my will is strengthened. I'm able to make the right decision. Even when temptation comes, I'm prepared for temptation. I'm prepared for whatever comes in my environment that will entice me to make a wrong decision. Is this making sense? So by submitting myself to God, then I can resist the devil. So a lot of people are trying to resist the devil on their own strength. You ain't going to do that. You have to resist the devil being submitted to God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. They run into it and the righteous are saved. When I submit myself to God, I'm going into a strong tower, a place where I'm protected. Really, a strong tower is talking about going into the mind of God. When I go into the mind of God, I'm protected from anything in my environment that's trying to put pressure on me. Is that making sense? When I go into that strong tower, when I go into the mind of God, when I start getting into what God is thinking about me, the environment can't say anything else. What happens is this is why our society becomes so jacked up because there's so many kids that are left unattended. What I mean by unattended? One of the things that the church has to get back to, and we're working on it here at Word of Life, especially with the kids, is whether you believe the Bible stories, whether they happen or not, even if you don't believe the Bible stories happen, they have principles in them. I'll give you an example. We learn from Samson and Delilah that you can't tell everybody your secrets. That's a principle. You can't tell everybody your secrets. What you can't, because everybody don't like you. We learn from David and Goliath that no matter how big the situation, I can overcome it. That's a principle. So because these kids are not getting these stories and getting these principles, their environment is being put, Satan is putting pressure on their environment and shaping the way they think. Are y'all getting this? See, this is what their will are being shaped or being weakened by their environment that's being influenced by the devil. It's making sense. So that's why we have to submit yourself to God. I got my oldest daughter in here. From early on, Bible stories. Why? Because they begin to teach principles. And as she began to hear these Bible stories, when she came to the age of accountability, she was able to understand the realness of Christ. So once she got born again, now it's not just me, but it's the power of Christ on the inside of her that's helping her make the right decision. Are y'all seeing this? We have the blood of Jesus on the inside of us, covering us so that our environment can't put that type of pressure on us. What makes the blood of Jesus so valuable? When Jesus faced Satan in that garden, when he faced Satan in the wilderness, and defeated Satan, he defeated Satan not spiritually, but mentally. He defeated him mentally with the help of the Holy Spirit, but it was a mental. When he did that, God said, okay, Jesus, he can sacrifice. Now I can use his blood to give everybody else a blood transfusion that they can do that same thing. They could be at their weakest moment, but if they have renewed their mind with what I'm saying about them, they'll be able to make the right decisions to strengthen themselves. Is that making sense? So, submitting ourselves to God, when we submit ourselves to God, it makes it easier to resist the devil. Because when we submit ourselves to God, it's just not us that's resisting the devil. It's now God standing up on the inside of us. And Satan is not seeing us, but he's seeing the God that is in us. So therefore, it's easier to walk away from what he's trying to do. It's easy to squash what he's trying to do. It's easy to turn around what he's trying to make happen in our world. Sunday was so powerful when the apostle said, you're the God of your world. You're the God of your world. Don't give that away. Every time you let Satan put pressure on your environment, you're giving your Godship away. You're giving him your power to turn around and use back on you. Is this making sense? So when we submit ourselves to God, we resist the devil, that's when he leaves. Satan always hang around. Satan is a coward. He only hang around places in which he know he can get access. If he can't get access, he don't hang around. This leads me to another point. When you get to a point to where Satan can no longer affect your environment, God will begin to move you into an environment that Satan has been had a stronghold on. See, once again, let's go back. This is why I keep telling people that being a Christian is not a utopia world. It's not you are light. You're the light of the world. Light got to go where darkness at. So light don't need to be with light. Light needs to go with darkness. So as soon as God sees that you're going to be strong-willed, that you're going to follow his order, no matter what condition it is, God begins to empower you to move into areas that Satan has tried to have a stronghold in your family, on your job, in your circle of influence, because he knows that when light shows up, darkness has to disappear. When light shows up, you begin to find things that was lost. When light shows up, stuff that people are trying to put hide in the dark can't be hid no more. And people are set free. So us having a strong will is just not for us. A strong will help set other people free. See, that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is for the kingdom of God to be established in the earth realm. Watch this. Stop trying to fit the word of God into the world system. It don't fit. The word of God don't fit in the world system. The word of God was meant to create another whole kingdom. So if you apply your life to these principles that I'm talking, that we're teaching in this school, that we're teaching like tonight about the will, when you apply those principles, listen to me, internet, when you apply those principles, it causes you to establish another whole set of rules that will overcome the world system, that will allow you to thrive in environments that other people can't thrive in. Because I'm not of this world. I may live in this world, but I'm not of this world. It may look like I'm walking the same walk as you, but let some trouble come up. Let some pressure come up. Then I'm gonna shift to you to another place and you're gonna know where I went. But you're gonna find out where I went. Is this making sense? I want to give you some characteristics of a lazy will. Hope you don't see yourself in this. A lazy will is lazy, has no zeal or passion, becomes passive to people and circumstances that are around it, going to sleep at the wheel. It's indecisive. It can be controlled by circumstances and is double-minded. Can be easily manipulated by other parts of the soul. It is not committed. Rely on other people's opinions continuously. Generally full of doubt. The only place it's not in full of doubt is when sin is present and it becomes rebellious. It's funny how some of the most weak-minded people, when they're in sin, become so strong-willed. I don't know if you ever seen that. They can be easy going anywhere else, but as soon as they get challenged by their sin, they become strong-willed. This is who I am. This is what I won't do. That's signs of a weak will. It takes wrong information from the intelligence, imagination, memory, and especially the emotion, and just take it to the extreme. A weak will motivate the other parts of the soul to think, imagine, remember, or feel whatever they can to justify themselves and strengthen their erroneous position. By whatever truth God seeks to bring conviction about, this kind of will, a weak will, protects the other parts of the soul by refusing to admit that the information it received was wrong. So how do I strengthen the will? Or how do I break the devil's influence over my will? You must renew your soul by establishing your memory, intelligence, imagination, and emotions what God says about any subject. See, that's one of the problems with pornography. What pornography does, listen to me, internet, what pornography does, pornography gives a picture, an erroneous picture of something that God ordained. And when your appetite is expanded to a fantasy of stuff that can't happen, stuff that ain't supposed to be happening, now your will is built to go look for that. And when your appetite is expanded out of control, when you go look for that, now you have to take the word of God and bring the appetite back into control. Is that making sense? So that's what I mean. You must renew your soul by establishing your memory and your intelligence, your imagination and emotion, what God says about a subject, any subject. The will automatically line itself up to God's will when you do that. It's up to you to do this, Because God will not violate your will. That's why you have understood you in Romans 12 and 2. You be not conformed to this world. You see, and be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to do this. You have to come and reason. God is not going. Isaiah 55 and 6. Turn there. Isaiah 55 and 6. Isaiah 55 and 6. If you can't stop gossiping about people, stop watching other people gossip. If you can't stop watching reality shows, listen to the internet. If you can't stop talking about other people, stop watching a reality show because they ain't up a mess. So what you doing? You feeding your will mess. So guess what your will gonna be attracted to? Isaiah 55 and 6. Watch this. 55 and 6. Watch this. Look at verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Now, it seems like this scripture is a play on words because it seems like it contradicts the omnipresence of God. We know God is everywhere, right? It seems like this scripture is making a contradiction. But the contradiction is not based on where God is. The contradiction is based on where our mind is. It says, watch this, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while ye may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now, if God is omnipresent, God is always near, right? But if in my mind, God ain't near, he ain't near, because I'm blocking him. You can be right next to the answer and never even access it because you ain't trying to see it. Are you seeing this? It's almost like being in the dark looking for a light switch. You're in a room, but you don't, the chain right there. The chain on the light right there, but you can't see it because it's dark. That chain might as well be far away because you can't see it. When your mind is not renewed, when your mind is not submitted to God, God is far away, even though he's near. God, watch this. God is around every sinner. He around every sinner. He around every sinner, and every time they mess up, he right there with them. He omnipresent. God is everywhere. But in their mind, he's so far away. That's why Isaiah is saying, seek the Lord while he may be found. In other words, all Isaiah is saying is renew your mind. Renew your mind. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. All Isaiah says is renew your mind. Because as soon as you renew your mind, your will begins to line up with what God is saying. Go to Philippians, the second chapter. God will not violate your will, but Satan will. God ain't going to try to influence your will, but Satan will try to influence your will. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when you renew your mind with the word of God, you submit yourself to God, you meditate his word day and night, you come and reason with God, your will automatically begin to line up with the will of God. And then when that happens, God is actually able to flow through you. That's why you're able to resist the devil. And he has to flee. Once again, Satan sees the God in you. He don't just see you. He now has access to see the Spirit of God in you. That's what makes him weak. Because once he see God, he's reminded that he's defeated. Every time he sees you stand up on the inside, he sees Jesus. And he remembers Jesus came, took those keys from him. That's powerful. You should always pray for God's will to be established in your will. And that should be the main objective of all prayers. Uh-oh. You should always pray for God's will to be in your will, or to fulfill your will, or to overtake your will. And that should always be the objective of your prayer. Let's read a prayer that Jesus prayed. Let's read a prayer that Jesus prayed. He's teaching us how to pray. Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Very familiar prayer. You probably know it by heart. But let's just read it for a moment behind that statement. You should always pray for God's will to be established in your will. And that should be the main objective of all prayer. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, you say after this manner. Other words, this is a skeleton prayer. Other words, all your prayers should be something along these lines. After this manner, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One question. What part of that prayer ever focused on you and what you want? None of it. None of that prayer. This is Jesus now teaching us how to pray. And none of that prayer was focused on what we wanted. It all focused on what God wanted. Right? There's a principle here. Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So when you're renewing your mind with the word of God and you're praying, your objective is for your will to be strengthened, but your will to be strengthened and infused with his will. John 15 chapter. Go to John 15 chapter. We'll close there. See, a lot of people are so busy on trying to fix their problems and going to God to fix their problems that they're missing how God's going to fix their problem. Lord, I'm praying. Lord, give me strength that I don't do this no more. And God's answer is, don't do it. Lord, help me not to do this no more. Okay, don't do it. You meditate the word of God. He'll tell you, just don't do it. So next time I send the Holy Spirit to convict you, just don't do it. it's not hard. See, all right, hold your fingers there. Go to Romans 10th chapter. Go to Romans 10th chapter. I'm taking scriptures that we've known for years religiously, and we're now making them apostolic. All right, you ready for this? Romans the 10th chapter and the 17th verse. Watch me, internet. This is a very familiar scripture. Right? It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is a principle. So my assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is a principle even with sin. So faith coming by hearing. So sin comes by hearing, and hearing by whatever my environment is given to me. That's a principle. Whatever you hear the most, you're going to have faith to do. This is why you can't go to sleep in your environment. You can't go to sleep at the wheel. You have to be conscious of what's going around you in your environment. Because watch this. Whatever you hear the most, that's what you're going to have faith to do. So this is why we have to renew our mind with the word of God. This is why I say, come, let us reason together. This is why I want you to meditate day and night. Because whatever you hear the most, that's what you're going to have faith to do. So this is why God say, Lord, help me. I don't want to do this no more, God. Please help me stop. Well, God say, just stop. Why? Because when you renew your mind with whatever you hear the most, the first thing a person who trapped in pornography, the first thing they got to do is stop watching pornography. You got to put guards in your environment to help you stop watching pornography. And put guards in your environment that let you submit yourself to the word of God more. Because the more you submit yourself to the word of God, then pornography, eventually you're going to rise up and have the strength to say, your mind, your Satan will come to you and say, you won't go do that. No, I don't. Because whatever you hear the most, that's what you're going to have faith to do. Does that make sense? See, Romans 10:17 is a principle. But because we see faith and the word of God, we don't realize that Satan used the same principle on us. There it is. Commercials. I mean, how do I get you to buy something? If I show music, radio stations do this to us all the time. How they do it? Radio stations play a song. Well, the first time you hear the song, you know I can't stand this song. I don't even like this song. But if you listen to the radio, they play that same song over and over and over and over and over again. Eventually you'll be like, man, that song don't sound so bad. Commercial, same thing, how to get you to buy something. If I show it to you over, they're getting to a point now that where sometimes they're showing commercials back to back. The same one, back to back. In case you didn't hear me the first time, let me tell it to you again. Because then you're going to have faith to go buy that. Is that making sense? Satan used the same principle that God established and he tried to use them against us. You'll never forget that. Romans 10:17, it's a principle. Whatever you hear the most, that's what you're going to have faith to do. Well, I told you to turn before there, y'all remember? John 15 and 5, we'll close there. There, John 15 and 7. John 15 and 7. Matter of fact, I told you this before, but hearing the voice of God is not about decibels. Hearing the voice of God is about spending time with God's word. When you spend time with God's word, you will automatically learn how to hear the voice of God. Because hearing the voice of God is more about recognition than it is about listening. I can recognize when God is talking to me. I can recognize when God's voice is talking to me. It's small and witness. I can recognize it. I can recognize it if it's an audible voice. I can recognize it if I'm supposed to recognize what God is doing. I can see what God is moving. Because I spend time with him. I'm familiar with him. John 15 and 7. Jesus talking, he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Notice that word, what ye will. You can ask what you will be. That don't mean you ask it for what you want. You ask it for what you will. Because you've abided in his word. His word abided. Your will become his will. His will becomes your will. You're one. So therefore, you ask whatever you want from God. What I mean by want, I want what he wants. So when I go after what he wants, he goes after what I want. Does that make it? See, this will thing, man, has been, Satan ain't messing with your spirit. Satan is trying to mess with your soul, trying to mess with your mind. You know, he's trying to shape your mind. Look how much Satan tried to shape your mind. Satan tried to shape your mind so much to where you feel that God called you to be in a certain place to work on a certain job, and you work on a certain job, and what he likes to do is to get us to focus on what we're getting paid. So when we get focused on what we're getting paid instead of why God has have us there, now our mind become limited. And so now we're looking for raises. We're looking for bonuses. Don't ask God for no bonus. Don't ask God for no raise. Say, God, you're my source. I don't really care where you bring it from. Because now when you ask God only for a bonus or a raise, you're limiting him. He might not want you. He might not want to use that bonus. He might not want to use that raise. He might want to get whatever they plan to give you as a bonus, whatever they give you as a raise. He might want to put it somewhere out of ordinary to where everybody looking at you. Well, how you doing that? Where you getting that money from? Well, how you doing this? I got a bonus for the job, and I'm what's going on? Because you and he are one, so your wills mesh. So when you renew your mind with the word of God, when you come in reason together, I'm closing here. When you come in reason together, when you renew, when you meditate, when you add your mindset to God's mindset, your will automatically strengthens. And you are able to resist the devil. And he has to flee from you. Because you're not focused on what you want, you're focused on what he wants. Does that make sense? Y'all have a good night.